everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Beats. This is episode 14, and it is great to be back speaking to you again over the magical airwaves of podcasting. Samir, how you doing, man?
Dude, I am feeling really good, man. I've had a really, really great weekend, which you know, we could talk about later on in the episode. But Alec, we're going to shake things up here on Beyond the Beats, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to shake things up big time.
We're gonna add in a new small tiny little section, and Alec is gonna kick us off this week for it. Alec, let me ask you, man, what's on repeat for you this week?
So it's a song. It's a pretty large song, but anyone who is into house music will know it. It's called "Rhymes" by Hannah Wants. Take a listen.
Yeah, dude, that song is nutty, man.
So, you know, I've heard it quite a few times, but what got me back into it actually was when we saw Charmy back in wherever that was, back in, what was it, February, something like that. Yeah. Gosh, it feels a while ago now. But you know, that was the first time I've really heard it played live, actually. So I was like, wow, it's almost an even better experience. So ever since, really, I've just been, you know, kind of, you know, listened to it for a little bit, then I forgot about it, and then this week it came up on my phone randomly when I was listening to music in the car, and I was like, this song slaps. So just the whole week I've just been you know, listening to it. I just love the build up and the, you know, I don't know how to describe that noise, but it's like not a siren or air horn, but you know what I mean, that one. I love that in there. And so it's just some classic, you know, tech house from Hannah Wants and Chris Lorenzo. I don't know if you knew that, but he helped out with the production of that track too. So it's a great track. Absolutely loved it, and it's even better live.
Definitely, man. Yeah, no, that song always slaps. And I love that we're doing this new section. So listeners, you guys will kind of get the gist of it as we, you know, continue to do this in our upcoming episodes. But it's a really, really simple section. Alec and I, we're going to alternate back and forth, and we're going to pick a song that is literally on repeat for us. And it could go outside of electronic music as well, right? I mean, it can go into just whatever we're really feeling this week. Obviously, electronic music is a big part of our lives, but we're also into other genres as well.
Maybe so, like one or two sprinkled in there throughout.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly. But, dude, we got a big episode here, man. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot, man. I mean, we had to cut down on some of the new music from this week because there was just a lot this week. You know, I think it's the post-Coachella time, you know, because when Coachella was going on, I feel like there wasn't too much new music being released. It's smart on the artists and, you know, people coming off Coachella, they want some fresh music, you know. I think it makes sense for that. Got people like Crank Dat coming out with an EP. Lots of EPs here. Lodge 21. Yeah. I'm sure you really like this, and we'll talk about this, but Eric Pritz's remix of Camel Fat's Breathe was good. In terms of news and culture, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about just Cephal Stein at Coachella, just because of the production apparently was really on point. There hasn't been too many like videos though, so I'm not, you know, if people have videos, that'd be great to send in, and so we can kind of hear what, you know, I still don't really know what a set would be like, especially from his new album. We're talking about Miami 2, Virginia Key, not a very good partnership here. They don't seem like each other. It's a shame, but we'll have to see. Ultra is really kind of in a bad spot with this one. And then lineups upon lineups upon lineups. There are so many. Hard Summer, LED, Life is Beautiful. And we'll talk about a few others. Samir, last night, actually, I'm surprised that you sound pretty good for going out last night, man.
Dude, you know me, man. Like, I'm like an Energizer bunny. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy.
We could be out until like 5 or 6 in the morning and I'll bounce right back up.
Yeah, kind of crazy. But Samir went out to Szymanski to see, we haven't released the episode yet, but last week we called with a fantastic tech house DJ called Aki. And she was very, very kind enough to invite Samir to see her play at Szymanski alongside Azur, Willoughby, and West End. Some other apparently really great. So Samir will delve into that for us. I'm not gonna, a little controversy with Marshmello. I don't know if you guys have been in the news, but there are some issues there around the people he decided to collab with. Then we've got our classic sections, the what are we listening to, and the artists we're watching. So let's dive straight into the new music section, man. He's been kind of on a roll recently in terms of getting a larger amount of following and just, you know, starting to play some more headliner-ish sets. Has he headlined a festival yet? Crank That. I mean, that's who I'm talking about. I don't think he's headlined. But
no, I don't think so either. But like this Gear World Volume 1 EP, dude, like this is it. Like this is what's going to really put him on the map, man, because he killed it, man. And all the collabs were great, too. And what's great is that, you know, when you get a EP like this from one artist, right, you're concerned that it's going to sound the same. Like, all the tracks are going to sound the same. But luckily, in this case, I feel like every track had its own distinct sound, which I was really pumped about.
Yeah, you know, what was really interesting about this is that I feel like he's finally getting his own sound, you know? I don't want to say finally as in, like, it was bad before. But, you know, I also forget how young, actually, he is in his musical career. And so, but it seems like he's really nailed down now this kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's, like, not quite dub, like, it's dubby trap almost, but it's not hard. Like, there's a lot, you know, it's people who maybe want to, you know, kind of like rage a little bit more, but they're not into the really harder style of music. They would like Crank That a lot. And that's what I've heard from a lot of people, is that he's kind of a nice, you know, entry level into that. But he's really solidified himself with this kind of unique sound. I feel like ever since he did the Mobamba remix, he's just been really on fire with all these releases. But I totally agree with you, man. You know, a couple on there, like Monster, I like kind of like that one. On there, was there any particular favorites of yours, if you remember? I'm just kind of looking through here now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 6-track EP, right? But I think probably my favorite was Riot with Gammer. Honestly, dude, we'll probably be hearing that song a lot this festival season. That shit went hard, and it has a great drop on it as well.
I like Nothing Matters, too. It's a little bit more melodic, which I really like.
It's definitely a change of pace, but I like that he ended on that note in this EP. It's the last track on the EP.
Definitely. So listeners, this will all be in our show notes. Definitely go check that out. This came out, I believe, was it last week? Lodge 21's 2-track EP. We didn't have time to talk about it last week, but we want to talk about it this week. Had two songs, Bring It Back and Ghetto Symphony. What did you think about this?
Dude, I love these guys, right? Lodge 21, I feel like they have just put out absolute fire. And I'll be honest, dude, my favorite song from them is the remix that they did of Chami's Don't Let Me Down. That remix is amazing. And it's unfortunate because I feel like Chami never plays it live, but I actually prefer that remix as opposed to the original.
Well, maybe that's why he doesn't.
Maybe he's like, damn it, they made a better song. I can't play this out. But dude, actually, I think Ghetto Symphony was my favorite song off of this EP.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, you know, to be honest, I think I haven't really seen them at any festivals
Me
or
neither,
touring.
Dude.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe they've just been spending a lot of time in the studio, right? And now they're hopefully I want to see them on the festival circuit. I really do, because I would love to hear them live.
Yeah.
They have some awesome, awesome tracks. I mean, I believe I first heard of them actually when they remixed Martin Solvig's Plus One. Did you remember hearing that?
No, I don't think I've ever heard that one
again,
before.
It's one of those where it's like, I really actually like theirs better.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to, you get that? See, pun there, bring it back. Yeah, so that was, I really like, again, like they absolutely crushed it. Both of them, I don't have a preference to be perfectly honest. Bring It Back and Ghetto Symphony are fantastic songs. Quick little note on this is that it was, am I correct in saying it was released on Bite This? That's Jaws' new...
Yes, the Jaws' label. Yeah,
yeah, that's so right. That's interesting. So
that's awesome.
We'll see. I love that. Jaws really is getting more into like kind of the future house, bass house type of scene. So.
Yeah, he really is. I saw him at... when I saw him at Creamfields, that's like a lot of his set was like very housey, but like, you know, that future... Not future bass? No, I'm sorry.
Future house.
Future house, thank you. Yeah, that future house sound, yeah.
I guess,
but it was a good set.
I guess what's really interesting is... I don't mean to go on a tangent, but I think this is quite an interesting topic, is that... You know, did Jaws spend some time in like the UK? Because do you remember when we were Ultra, his new song that he dropped was that one song with, I think it was Example that he dropped. And Example is a British rapper. And I just wonder, a lot of his new songs have just been quite heavily influenced by like UK garage, UKF, they call it. Or, you know, I just wonder if he spent time there. I don't know if you know anything about that.
No, I'm not too sure, man, but it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I think he was really digging like the crowd's vibe from the set that he was throwing down at Creamfields. I think maybe that was like his first time playing there. I'm not too sure. Mm. But it was a great set, dude. Really, definitely. Really great set.
Definitely. So go check that out, listeners, for sure. Moving on, your boy Eric Fritz, man.
Yes. Let me I guess I'll start off here on this one, right?
Yeah.
Eric Fritz did a remix of Camel Fat and Christoph's song called Breathe. You got Jem Cook on the vocals. And first of all, this song, like the original itself, is, I mean, it's getting a massive amount of attention, dude. I mean, there are DJs are absolutely loving this song. It's being played out quite a bit, and it's a very catchy tune. You know, listeners, if you guys have listened to this podcast before, you guys would know that I'm not a big lyrics person, but man, I really like this song a lot. And my boy Eric Prydz did a remix, and I'll be honest, man, it did not do that much for me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, just because Eric Prydz's name is attached to something.
Whoa. Can you repeat that? Eric Prydz did not do something for you?
Yeah. He didn't really, you know, put me. Wow. I don't know. It didn't get me hot. You know what I mean? Like, I actually prefer the original of this song to the remix. And I love Eric Prydz, and I've said that multiple times on the show, probably every episode.
yeah, but pretty much.
Yeah. But basically, this remix was good, but I still prefer the original.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I do have to agree with you. I'm just shocked. I just didn't think I would hear those words in continuous sentences
I'm
come out.
I'm chock full of surprises.
Yeah, you really are, man. You really are switching it up here on Beyond the Beats. Absolutely love it. But yeah, I thought it was good. It didn't, it didn't make me feel too much either, I guess. But I thought it was good. You know, it just wasn't. Yeah. That it didn't have that pizzazz, I guess, that you kind of associate Eric Prydz with.
Well, definitely, dude, definitely expect to hear it when we're at EDC. He's absolutely going to drop this remix at EDC.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Sure,
which is in less than 3 weeks, by the way. So,
dude, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
None of us are ready, dude. But anyways, bro, we got the Chainsmokers, right? They have their, is it like an EP? I'm not really too sure what to call this one. Right?
I don't know what it is. Is it music? Yeah. I'm not even sure if it's that.
Is it music? Damn, we're going right into it here.
I'm kidding.
Partially
right kidding. Into
it. Well, partially. I don't think you're really kidding because, this shit was messy. You know what I mean? It's called World War Joy.
I don't know. Yeah, all right, sorry, Chainsmokers fans that are listening to this. Just go check it out. I don't know. I have no real comments on it. Like, I'm just like, okay, background music for me.
The background music, dude, really? Wow.
Yeah, no, more like one listen, actually.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I'm sorry. And look, listeners, you guys got to remember, like, I'm not hating on it just because the Chainsmokers name is on it. I'm hating on it because I've listened to it and I just don't like it. You know, it's just not, it's none of these three tracks are catchy or, you know, in any way memorable. And, you know, it's cool that this guy, what's his name? Is it Alex or Drew that does the singing? I keep forgetting.
I think it's Drew.
Yeah. So Drew sang on the track Kills You Slowly. And, you know, like, awesome, man. Like, you know, it's cool that, you know, you feel like you're good enough to sing on tracks and continue to do that, but it's not that great. And so I'm just sorry to be so negative. I hate being like this, man. It's just
I do hate it because again, it's like I don't mean it almost disrespectfully, like, you know, I have nothing against them really as people.
I just have something against their fucking music.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm separating that piece from that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're talented and they are in their own right. Go back to stuff like Roses, guys. Like, come on. Like, that shit was great. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I really do love that song. And you know, Don't Let Me Down. Like, just there's these songs where they're, you know, I feel like they've been going a little bit too beachy, trying to get that beach vibe. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. Apparently they've got a lot of collabs coming up, so
yeah. Well, dude, you know, you this is a perfect segue, man, because you talked about like the beachy vibes, right? But we got Martin Garrix and Macklemore, which I feel like I haven't seen his name pop up in a long time, but you got Martin Garrix, Macklemore, and this is really gonna throw it back to middle school Samir. You got Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy, people. Fall Out Boy. I went through a huge like emo phase, like in middle school, like in terms of the music.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, I love that music, man. It still holds dear to my heart. So when this track was announced, right, that it was coming out, Alec, I texted you, man. Remember, I texted you. I was like, man, I hope this song is good. Like, I love Patrick Stump, and the track is called Summer Days, and it's not good. It's not a good song. There's no other way to say it. It's not a good song.
You know, I don't know, man. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was, I wouldn't go as far to say it's not a bad song. To be fair, I really didn't like Macklemore's part. I really did not like that.
Yes, I think that actually ruined it for me,
but
man.
I thought it worked really well when Patrick Stump was singing. I thought it worked well. Yes,
Patrick
so that's
Stump
what saved
was the shining light on this song. He was he smashed his part, which I knew he would. He's a phenomenal singer. And he's done a lot of great work with Fall Out Boy, but Macklemore, what the fuck, dude? Like, you know, we haven't seen your name in so long, and like, this is what you come out with. It just it seems so ill fitting.
Well, you know, exactly. I think that's more it. It's the fact that Macklemore does not fit that vibe. It's just his. To be honest, it's just his voice and just how he sounds. It just doesn't quite work. Like, if this was just with Patrick Stump, this would actually for me be a pretty good song, you know, because I mean look it's not obvious, it's not my favorite of Martin Garrix's, you know, productions, and I don't think it's his absolute best. However, this was a very solid, like, you know, radio song when it's a nice day out, you're rolling down the windows. Like, this was a very good song of just the Patrick Stump part. Like, I really, my girlfriend agreed with me when we played it in the car the other day, and she was like, yeah, I did not like Macklemore's section at all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both, you know, you and your girlfriend, dude. I just
that's great.
Macklemore, I think the problem with Macklemore, and I don't want to, like, you know, take up too much time on this song, right? Because we got a lot of great stuff to talk about. But, like, I think the problem with Macklemore is that he is, I don't want to say he's angry, but he has a lot of aggression in his voice, right? And so he's like, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to keep moving, you got to keep going, you know what I mean? And, like, that's a cool message and all, like, and I get that, because, like, a lot of his older tracks were like, keep going, keep pushing, like, you know, we're all going to make it, everything's going to be fine. But he does.
You hate any of those messages, man. I'm just, this is
No, it's not that. I really don't hate those messages, man. Yeah, it's, I will say, okay, wait, real quick, if I want to give a compliment to Macklemore, right?
Yeah.
When he put out his first album, he had also said it wasn't just Macklemore as the artist listed. It was Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. All right. And that's huge, dude, because Ryan Lewis is the guy that produced all those tracks. So, and I think he was just like one of those, like, very first kind of rappers who's getting famous, who, like, basically was like, yeah, I mean, these producers do a ton of work on these albums too, and they need to get some more notoriety. So, like, it was Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And I thought, I love that. I really love that he was doing that so early on in the game. Anyways, with all that being said, Macklemore, I think, was just ill-fitting on this track. Patrick Stump killed it. And, you know, Martin Garrix, talented guy. I didn't really feel like it was all that unique of a Martin Garrix song, but, you know, I think people are going to like it. It's just in time for summer, and it's called Summer Days. So, listeners, you guys can check out all these songs in the links in our show notes.
Good thoughts on that, man. But, you know, kicking off the news and culture section for this week, we had been talking about Just Athelstan. I'll give some context if there are any new listeners who have not caught up on our past episodes. We covered Just Athelstan quite a lot. I don't really, can't remember off the top of my head which episodes, but go back, you know, a month or so ago when he was releasing his album Hyperion. And, you know, we weren't very big fans of it at all. We liked a couple of songs maybe, but we weren't really sure how the set, you know, how this would be as a live show. Well, apparently Just Athelstan put on an amazing live show at Coachella. I'm not sure in terms of musically, though, right? Like, what was really interesting, Samir, and I don't know if you've looked a little bit more into this, and this will be in the show notes for anyone watching, because there is a video there, but Just Athelstan used the most, like, darkest, blackest color, you know, possible. It's called Vanta Black, and he put it up on a three-dimensional, like, you know, stage objects behind him. And so the reason why it's so cool is that it's, since it's so black, the eyes, you know, we can't really comprehend it properly. So it really skews your sense of perception, especially when it's put in contrast with another light source. Even if it's a different shade of black, and so long as there's a light source, you can see this crazy contrast. And apparently when you were just there in person watching it, it was just really weird. There was like a black hole behind him and all around him. And he did it after sunset. It was at the twilight. So there was this natural, you know, like in the middle of the desert, there was this, like, you know, it gets really dark. And it gets really bloody dark, actually. I've been in Palm Springs at night. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. And apparently this he wore these like outfit made out of sequins and like different metals and stuff. And so there was just this one light on the stage, just on him, and everything else was just complete and utter blackness, like literally a dark hole where no light was piercing through it. And you just saw him illuminated. It was just a really cool looking thing. Did you see any of that, Samir? I thought it was really neat.
I did watch like a lot of clips from his show and you know, from his performance at Coachella. Dude, it was, I actually really liked it a lot. I thought it was really neat, and I love what he was wearing too. But wow, I had no idea about this, dude. That is nuts.
So he had actual scientists and people working on this. I mean, this was a huge ordeal. I'll put this one in the show notes because it's a really good article, but you know, because we don't want to spend too much time on this. But if you're interested in more of kind of like the geeky part of it, The Verge did a really great article on everything on it. So that this will be in the show notes. But basically, this was planned out from the start. Like I have to give him props to that, because this is unbelievable production.
Yeah.
And I guess he's going to be bringing something like this on his tour, is what I would imagine.
Yeah.
Right. Whoa. So yeah,
that's crazy.
So that might make it so worth seeing. I mean, just to see that piece. So, yeah,
that's awesome. The great find, Alex, right. Seriously, man. I'm super impressed. I love like weird, quirky stuff like this. I think it's really neat. And yeah, listeners, definitely go read that article from The Verge. It's in our show notes. It's a really, really well done article too. So
yeah, I can occasionally come up with good things occasionally.
Man, you're always on your game, dude. Come on, man. You're always on the game. Love it.
Definitely. But talking about good things and, well, bad things, actually. Bad things for Ultra. Samir, talk to me. You are really in the weeds on this one. I know, you know, you've been tracking a lot about with Ultra and things. Tell me what's going on here.
These guys, honestly, they cannot catch a break. I feel so bad for Ultra, dude. I don't know what to say. Like, these guys have been around for, well, they just had their 21st iteration of it, right? So this is just absolutely nuts. And when the festival had ended, and you know, I guess Ultra Music Festival 2020 was announced, it only said Miami, Florida as the location on the flyer. Like, it didn't say where exactly it would be, where it would be in Miami, Florida. So, listeners, I'm going to catch you up real quick over here, right? Ultra has been in downtown Miami for like a number of years, but the residents of downtown Miami were just like, no, we don't want this nonsense. It's way too disruptive. It's loud music is going late into the night, and you know, these, you know, people buy and rent these multi-million dollar condos, right, that are in downtown Miami. So they just didn't want to deal with this nonsense. Ultra was moved to Virginia Key, which is just a small little island kind of off of the coast of Miami. And what you need to know about this is that there's one road in and one road out. All right, so now let's talk about what happened. So Ultra, this past year in 2019, we've talked about this on episode 10 pretty extensively, but they were moved to Virginia Key. And so the festival on the very first night was met with so many problems.
For Ultra Music organizers, it's on to 2020. The festival wrapped up in the wee hours of this morning after its first year in Virginia Key.
Now, there were quite a number of problems on the first night. So what's next for the annual event? Let's check with CBS4's Mike Cugno live in downtown Miami with the latest. Mike.
Yeah, guys, there was complaint that bass was just a little too much over the weekend. We spoke to City of Miami Mayor Francis Suarez. He says before the music starts in 2020, he hopes those decibel levels tend to come down a little bit.
Especially transportation going in and out of the festival. The free shuttles that they provided were just an absolute mess. Traffic was nuts. People were just walking off of the walking through the bridge from Virginia Key back into Miami, which is about, gosh, I think it's about 3 miles or so. So it's a pretty long walk, you know, especially after a full day of dancing and raving, right? And so, you know, Ultra kind of had to cut back on a lot of things, right? They had to really improve their transportation system. Also, at the same time, a tree had caught fire on the first day of Ultra. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, which is great. But it was said to be caused by, and there's really no known cause, but I mean, you know, I think people are speculating and they're basically saying like it might have been just like some fallout from fireworks. So with that being said, you know, all the pyro, all that was cut down, you know, pretty severely for the last 2 days for Saturday and Sunday of the festival. You guys might notice that if you watch the sets that have been posted online on YouTube from the various artists. Now that the festival is over, the Virginia Key Advisory Board has passed a resolution against Ultra returning, which means that they might have to go and find another venue, work out more kinks, you know, with transportation and getting to and from, you know, especially if they have to move this festival even further away from their original home in downtown Miami.
They just might not be able to keep it in Miami, man. I mean, this just might have to move somewhere else. Maybe they can keep it on the Florida coast. You know, Fort Lauderdale.
I don't know
looking
what they're
going to
do. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe they can just move it to like New York or something. That'd be sick. But
I don't think they're not going to do that.
They call it Ultra Miami, but in New
Ultra
York.
Ultra New York.
Awesome.
I mean, it's got a good ring, but they're definitely not going to.
They're not. No, obviously not. No, they definitely won't because the weather in New York in March is awful. So
yeah.
Basically, though, what the Virginia Key Advisory Board is saying is that this sort of production, this level of production, is causing significant stress on the local wildlife. And Ultra this year, I don't know if you guys follow them on their socials, but they are really trying to kind of show that they're really taking those efforts to be green. They're trying to do a lot more recycling initiatives. They're talking to their vendors and saying, you know, please use, like, you know, basically like plates and containers for food that break down easier. Please don't use like plastic straws, things of that nature, right? So just try to show that they're trying to, you know,
which
do
is
their
great,
part.
By
in,
the way,
in,
like
yeah.
That.
Oh, absolutely amazing. Yep. Love that. But there was a study that came out that the fish in the local area, they suffered excess stress levels because of the loud music at Ultra Music Festival. And this study was done by the University of Miami researchers, right? So they were testing the hormone levels showed before the festival for the fish in that area and after the festival in that area. And basically what they found is that the hormone levels showed stress levels much greater. As if the fish was being chased by a predator. Like, that's how stressful this music festival was on the local marine life there.
Well,
so,
I don't mean to cut in there, but I guess I'm not a scientist, but I guess some of the reason is it's because of the decibels, right? And it's probably low end, because I mean, even though I'm sure they probably were within the realm of, you know, it was acceptable, you know, I think we got to remember that, you know, other wildlife, you know, they have different types of sensory inputs than we do. So that low end, those vibrations, that, you know, that's probably how they detected whether there are predators coming after them.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Completely agreed. And, you know, there are a lot of people online who are basically saying, like, these, you know, basically the Virginia Key board is advisory board is using this study to kind of kick Ultra out. But
right.
I think there's a lot more issues in play here than just obviously doing terrible damage to the marine life in that area. I mean, the biggest issue obviously being is that Virginia Key, honestly, probably was not the best venue for Ultra Music Festival. And again, listeners, we really went into this in depth on episode 10, so definitely go check that episode out. It's a really good one. But there's a lot of issues for Ultra going on right now. It really seems like these guys are constantly getting pushed out of their venues, and, you know, unfortunately, it looks like they're going to have to scramble again. What I'm hoping for, you know, before we close out this topic, but what I'm hoping for is that they're not going to really try to fight, you know, and bank on returning back to Virginia Key, right? Because that's what they did with Bayfront Park. They're like, oh, no, we're going to get it back. We're going to get it back. And then they realize they're not getting it back. And then they were like, you know, shit, we need to move and we need to find something ASAP. And so, you know, they did it with Virginia Key, and they really put together, you know, still a good event for the amount of time that they had. But, you know, let's hope that they don't dilly-dally and put all their eggs in one basket once again.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with that, man. The only thing I would kind of add on is that, you know, I think the wildlife concerns was definitely a factor, but, you know, I really do think that this was kind of the last straw in a fading relationship with Miami in general, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, to be perfectly honest, you know, man, I really do wonder, because it's such a, you know, metropolitan area, and this sheer size that Ultra has become now, you know, I wonder if this was kind of inevitable for being in a city like Miami in a more downtown location, or, you know, where there's just a lot of logistical issues in general and just residential areas, you know, for a festival this size, you know, I really think it's just kind of like it probably was going to happen at some point anyway, right? Because Ultra was a lot smaller when they started off in, you know, in Miami, right? So it was just completely different. So I'm not very surprised by this, and just kind of just with they've been like talking about getting rid of them for the last 5 years basically, right?
I know.
So, you know, to be honest, guys, like Ultra, whoever is over at the business there, I really hope that you're taking this as a sign to be like, you know, please get a contingency plan and just
absolutely,
you know, like it, to be honest, like maybe they have been thinking about this, but they should have been doing this a while ago, because as soon as a city starts like every year questioning whether you should be there, that should be a red flag for any of the business people, just because it's like, okay, this relationship is dwindling.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's only so many things you can control. They just, the fact of the matter is they just don't really want them there anymore.
Yeah, no, it's completely agreed, Alec. Very, very well said, dude. Yeah, the city of Miami really just does not want to deal with Ultra anymore.
Well, and sorry, like the last point of clarification is that the Virginia Key vote doesn't actually mean anything. So they had the preliminary vote, right, where they said they don't want them back, but that actually doesn't restrict the licensing. That's up to the city of Miami council, who is voting on that, I believe, May 9th is when they're voting.
It's coming up soon.
So yeah, just make that important distinction there. But absolutely. Speaking of festivals, man, I can't believe the amount of festival lineups that dropped,
bro. We have six of them to talk about, and listeners, we're not gonna, like, because there's six festival lineups to talk about here, we're not going to go terribly in depth into them. We're just going to call out some names that we're pretty excited about. But, I mean, dude, real quick, man, here's who we're talking about, right? Lost Lands, Hard Summer 2019, LED USA, Life is Beautiful, North Coast, and Imagine Music Festivals. I mean, these guys, this past week, all six of them dropped their lineups. I mean, this is a massive, massive week for these announcements, man. I mean, I don't know how to decide like which one I would go to out of all of these. You know, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to look at these posters?
Yeah, I did, man. It's kind of crazy. You know, there's a few things that catch my eye. I guess we'll start with Lost Lands first. You know, I have very high expectations.
I mean,
you know, you've got Excision, Back to Back, Elenium. I mean, my lord.
Oof. Oh my god. If that shit doesn't make you cry and headbang at the same time, then I don't know what will.
It's a weird, you know, thing. Like, can you headbang and cry at the same time?
I think you certainly can.
I think you can too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But
there's just so many people. Go on, man. Like, who are the people that you would be excited? Maybe that's a good way to do this, actually. Maybe we go through some of the lineups and just pick out a few people that we would really be excited to see.
Totally, man. Totally. Yeah. I mean, you already mentioned Excision, Back to Back, Elenium, which is awesome. You got Downlink, who I'm pretty pumped about. You got Space Jesus, who I've actually never heard live, but my brother saw him, I think, like about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, and he said he absolutely smacked it. Peekaboo, Abstract is on there. Keizo. You got Ghastly, which I'm pretty pumped about. You know, so just, you know, those are some of the people that I'm pretty psyched about, man. Oh, Zed's Dead. I just want to also mention Zed's Dead as well. But Alec, who are you feeling on this lineup, dude?
Definitely. You know, I'm really feeling Atlians, actually. We didn't get to talk about, we'll talk about that, what they released a track, I believe, this week too, towards the end of the week. So we didn't have time to talk about it. But I've been really feeling their most recent stuff, and I've heard they're pretty good live. So that would be someone that I would be looking out for. Obviously, Akali. I mean, you just have to. Was he at Lost Lands last year? I don't think so.
No, I don't think he was either.
Right. So that will be interesting. I mean, I guess he's in the mood for going hard, because, you know, he's definitely got to bring it. Who else is there? Someone maybe smaller. Oh, got to give a shout out to Whipped Cream. I think that's pretty awesome that she made the lineup, and that's really great that they're doing that. I mean, that's pretty much it from everyone else. I mean, just such a stat lineup, it's like you can't really, it's just hard to choose.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Oh, Shadient, that's another one. Shadient, and then shout out to Schlump too. There's a
Schlump.
Yeah, I like that name. It's funny.
Love that name.
Yeah, it's a great name. They come up with good names, these guys.
They really do, man. DJs are really creative.
How
with
do they
stuff,
do it?
Man.
Do they just sit there? I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't know. But yeah, so, you know, Excision's got his festival, Lost Lands, coming back, I believe, for the third year now, which is awesome. From what we've heard, it's a really, really great festival, and people really seem to enjoy it. But, dude, another festival making, you know, coming back this year. We got Hard Summer 2019. This lineup is kind of interesting, dude. Did you see it?
Yeah. You know, this is a very interesting lineup. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, you know, like,
yeah, I don't know how I feel.
You know, the one that's going to be pretty awesome is Zoo, Back to Back, Charmy.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
I knew you were because that's the only one that really kind of stands out as being like, whoa, this could be like absolutely crazy.
Because they did that on Holy Ship, right? They did the Back to Back on Holy Ship. Did you listen to that?
right.
Dude, oh my god, that set is so good, Alec. It's on YouTube. Some hero had recorded the whole thing, or like I think like 45 minutes of it. It smacks.
Right. Yeah, I'll have to go check that out again. But I heard that was absolutely crazy. I don't know why, but thrown in there, Sheck West. What
okay. The fuck is Sheck West doing on this lineup? Like, why is he so high up there, dude?
Because I don't know. I mean, are there any other rappers? I don't think so.
I don't think there's really all that many, man. I'm quickly like, oh, well, you got Juice WRLD on there as well. But Juice WRLD is actually like, I don't really like his music, but Juice WRLD seems to be really killing it, man.
Yeah, no, I've heard that too. Yeah. To be honest, I don't really have an opinion yet because I haven't really delved too much into.
Yeah.
But I've heard really good things. So that's cool that he's on there. But, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of like, it's really interesting. Weird. Like, you know who I...
Kid Cudi is also headlining Saturday. Yeah, the first day of it.
Like, after Excision back-to-back nightmare that Kid Cudi comes on, like, I don't know.
Right. Exactly, bro. But, you know, it's just some people I'm pretty hyped about. I'm glad to see Loco Dice on there, man. I think that's such a, you know, given some techno representation, I think that's sick. You know, you got A-Track back-to-back, Yeah, Me Too. It's not, like, a totally, like, out of place back-to-back. But I don't know. I just feel like I never see A-Track wanting to do, like, these back-to-backs. I feel like he doesn't really do many of them, so I think that's kind of neat. One thing I was kind of interested to see was Will Clark and Sion, S-I-A-N. They're performing as Amok, and it's spelled A-M-O-K. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Got Anna Luno on there as well, who I'm pretty psyched to see. Dombreski, of course,
that goes without saying. Man, actually.
Yeah, they do. You got GTA and Friends on there as well, which, of course, you know, anytime GTA puts their name on something.
Valentino Khan, 4B, GTA. Is there someone else?
That whole squad.
Am I missing?
I'm not too sure about who else is in that squad, but, I mean, it's pretty big, dude. And Amtrak as well is somebody that I'm pretty hyped about.
Yeah, so for me, the people would be... have you heard of Kyle Watson?
Yep.
Yeah, so like that would be interesting. I've wanted to see him live. Lick is going to be there too, which is pretty cool. Shout out to Noizu. Yeah. I know we've talked about him
before.
Yeah,
boy Noizu, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, there is another rapper. This is not someone I'm excited by, just to clarify, but Soulja Boy is there.
Oh dude, I don't even know how I missed that. Yeah, Soulja Boy, that's right.
Yeah, no, ooh. I mean, I missed it too. I don't know how I feel about that though.
Ugh, it just seems like some of the rappers on here are just really out of place.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of nicest to switch it up maybe, but I know EDC does it too, but
yeah, I think Hard is known for kind of making their lives a little bit more diverse than like an EDC or like an Ultra Music Festival.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse. Yeah. Oh, and you've got... So, by the way, I've now confirmed because I'm looking at this. Shaq is going just by Diesel, by the way.
Oh, you confirmed it.
Yeah,
oh,
well, he's on here. So,
oh, dude.
Yeah, he's on here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we had talked about this on the last episode where we weren't sure if Diesel was actually like Shaq, like Big Shaq or like another DJ. Whoa, that's nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I confirmed it just because it says Diesel and then in parentheses it's Shaquille O'Neal. So I'm assuming it's no longer DJ Diesel, but just Diesel. So that's really interesting. I mean, I'm sure
means
he's probably
going to be at Izu.
Yeah, you hope he is?
No, that means he will be at Izu because that's when we had talked about this on last week's episode.
Dude,
yeah,
you got to go see it. You got
nuts.
Just to go see it, man. I mean, why not?
I think I will. Yeah.
Definitely.
And I don't normally like to do those kinds of things where like I just go see somebody just to see them, but I mean, this is Big Shaq and I hope he passes out like some Gold Bond and Icy Hot because that'd be sick.
I don't know if he'll do that, but he might. I mean, maybe.
I mean, for all those necks that are like snapped during his set, I'm sure he'll maybe get some Icy Hot.
Maybe, you know, yeah. The pain is gone. Would be good. Yeah. That would be a great, yeah, that's really good brand placement there, but much better than KFC. Dude. Much better than KFC.
Oh, God.
Yeah, wait, shout out to these guys. Icy Hot, what's going on here? You should definitely be on this.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Throwing it out from the DJ. Yeah, I love that. The last one that I'd be really, you know, psyched to see, got to see it someday, is Anti Up, which is Chris Lake and Chris Lorenzo. That is going to be awesome.
Dude, that's nuts. Yeah, I would love to see those two just go back to back and demolish it, man. That'd be so dope.
For sure, man, for sure. Yeah. But moving on to LED USA, which is My Life Every Day. You know, I haven't really heard too much about this festival. I haven't talked to anybody who's gone there. Do you know anybody who's gone?
I don't really know anybody who's gone either. I think it's more of like a local SoCal festival. Of course, it's a California festival.
It's in San Diego. Yeah.
Yep, it's in San Diego. Yes, sir. But yeah, it's happening May 25th and 26th. So it's happening actually really quite soon. Next month.
Wow. Yeah.
But again, another you know, pretty solid lineup in my opinion, at least. You know, like, I'd be hyped to see Seven Lions, of course. Jaws, that'd be sick. You know, 1788L is on here, who I'm actually starting to warm up to again, just because he dropped an absolutely crazy EP, which we're going to talk about later on in the show. Dr. Fresh would be dope, and Golden Features, man. But Matt Zoe. Sorry, I had to mention Matt Zoe.
Yeah,
as well.
Matt Zoe, definitely. I got a shout out. My boy Matroda is going to be there. That's going to be pretty cool. Wax Motif, you know, glad to see him on this on the circuit. Interesting to see TJR back. I feel like he hasn't done anything in terms of touring, right?
Yeah, I think he maybe took a little bit of a break from it, but yeah, it is kind of interesting to see him back. He's also just like, I don't know if he's really releasing all that much anymore. Like, I think like 2015, 2016 was probably like his big number of years.
Right.
And like 2017 as well, you know?
Yeah, very true. Very true. So that would be really interesting. She was actually on this, the last one on Hot Summer 2, but Anna Luneau is there. She's been killing it recently. So overall, I mean, for a smaller local festival, I mean, this is really not bad.
Yeah, it's a nice lineup, dude. It's a nice lineup.
For sure.
Life is Beautiful. I love that name, man. Isn't that, it's such a nice name.
It
Life
is a great
beautiful.
Name. It really is. I mean, and it's, I think it's in downtown Vegas, isn't it?
I think you're absolutely right about that. It's in Vegas.
Which is really interesting.
Yep. Yeah, it is kind of interesting. You know, I think like every time I think of a festival in Vegas, I automatically go to like EDC, you know what I mean? Like it being out in the desert and everything. So,
right. Definitely.
But dude, this is a festival that is meant to be very diverse, and you're going to get that here. You know what I mean? You got people like Lewis the Child on it. You got Chance the Rapper. You got Lil Wayne, who's also on this lineup
Lil
as well.
Wayne.
Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's just some of the, Post Malone, of course, Billie Eilish, you know, huge, huge names, obviously. But that's just some of the non-EDM people. And now if we're moving into EDM, people that I'd be hyped to see. I like Zed. I do like Zed. People say that, you know, his sets all sound the same, but I'm a Zed fan. Slushy, I'd be down to see. Griffin. I'm all right on Griffin, so never mind on Griffin. Jaws, definitely Jaws. And Rufus Du Sol, because, you know, ever since we talked about them last week, dude, I've just been really into their music.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, and they've been really killing it, too. I really like to see them, because they took kind of a break as well, I think. So it's nice to see them. But yeah, the other person probably at Life is Beautiful is Oliver Heldens. It's going to be there.
Whoa. I don't know how I missed that, but that is dope.
Definitely. That is something to do. This guy, you know, it's been interesting, but Casbo, have you listened to him before? He was
Casbo, like C-A-S-B-O?
No. He's awesome, but Casbo, yeah. It's K-A-S-B-O.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I've heard some remixes, actually. Be interesting to see. I'm definitely going to look a little bit more into him, because he's just booked this one, and he was just on LED as well. So
yeah,
that'd be pretty interesting. Who else is going to be there? That would be kind of it. UK, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm all right with UK. Yeah, I've seen him live. He's all right. But dude, North Coast, another festival happening in Chicago. Who are you feeling on this one? It's a good lineup.
Yeah, man. Who I'm really feeling is, you know, the really cool live is Gorgon City Live.
Yeah.
Is pretty awesome. So I'm pretty excited for that. I see that Jaws is doing a Bite This Takeover.
Huge.
Which is pretty cool. Do you know anything about that? I don't know what that really means.
I mean, it's just basically his label hosting the stage.
Oh, so all those people, is that on his label? Like UK, IO?
I don't know if they're necessarily like on his label, but I think they've released records before on Bite This Records. So, you know, I think he's just bringing some friends along.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, Kyle Walker. Kyle Walker's awesome. Definitely would like to see that. IO would be interesting. You know, I've heard that he's pretty good, actually.
Me too. We got to go see him at EDC. He's playing on Circuit Grounds.
Oh, cool. Definitely. Oh, yeah. And a artist that a previous artist we're watching, Inzo, is there. Hey, he's there. That's
Whoa.
Great. Yeah.
Wait. What? Oh, yeah, I see that now. Oh, dude. Very nice. Very nice. I love that.
Right? So good to see him there. How about you, Matt? I mean, it's a pretty short lineup, so.
Yeah, it's a short lineup, definitely. You know, taking place August 30th and August 31st in Chicago, but Big Wild, who you know I'm a big fan of, Chami, SG Lewis, I'd be totally down to see. And you've already mentioned this, but Jaws' Bite This Takeover is looking stacked AF. You got Anna Luneau, IO, of course. So, yeah, this is a great lineup overall, man.
For sure, man. For sure.
Yeah.
Moving on to Imagine Festival. This is an interesting one.
Alec, honestly, dude, this is my favorite one.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is my favorite one, definitely. It's taking place at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. It's happening September 20th, September 21st, and the 22nd. It's a three-day festival, right? But, I mean, dude, just take a look at this lineup, bro. I mean, and this is just the phase one announcement, right? Keep that in mind. So, you know, on the Friday, you got Diplo and Rez headlining, okay? Boom. On Saturday, you got Above and Beyond, who I'm not a huge fan of, but, you know, again, Above and Beyond, Alison in Wonderland, Zed's Dead, Kashmir, all right? I love Kashmir. Sunday, you know, this is going to be appealing to a lot of people, but you got Marshmello, but you also got Seven Lions, awesome. You got Alan Walker, Sudden Death, and that's just like main stage right there, right?
Sudden Death, that's an interesting one.
That is a very interesting name to have on the main stage, right?
Yeah, that's really hard. Okay, I mean, yeah, you know, I've heard he's exactly. Kind of fun live, though. I mean, that's we were talking about this before. He's kind of, you know, that's the rhythm. Or rhythm, however you want to pronounce it. You know, that'd be interesting to see. I haven't seen him, so I don't know.
Exactly. I've never seen him either, man. But, I mean, and then, of course, their house music that they've got is well represented with Cloud Von Stroke bringing the Dirty Bird Players, man. But what'd you think, dude? Like, who are you pumped about?
Yeah, for me, it'd be... It's funny, Anna Luneau, she's really hitting the festivals hard. She's, yeah, again, she's here. That's awesome. Dr. Fresh.
Huge.
Someone that I'd be really interested to see. Wax Motif again. Rusko is there. Rusko is pretty awesome. Seen him a couple times. Obviously, Kid. You know, I'm gonna go for Kid. Yeah, and then like said, this guy. Like I like everyone on here. I mean, Rez. It's, you know, Rez is obviously a staple. You have to go see it. Right. Yeah. But this looks like a very, very solid lineup. I'm a big fan of, and I see they. You know, this is just the phase one. So I think there's really only up from here.
Oh, absolutely. And this lineup is already very stacked. Like I said, listeners, this is definitely my favorite one out of all the lineups that we just talked about. So, yeah, man, whew, lineups on lineups on lineups for sure, dude. I mean, listeners, you'll be able to find links to all these lineups in our show notes as well. And, you know, let us know what you guys go to, man. We would love to hear from you guys, you know, on Instagram. You can just check us out at btb.pod. And on Twitter, we are @podbtb. And we're pretty active on all of our social media, so definitely check us out. We're also on Facebook as well. But Alec, man, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you, man. I had a really, really great weekend, and Saturday night was just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Awesome. I got a chance to hang out with our friend Aki, you know? And so, listeners, for those of you guys who don't know, but you will know her pretty soon, we did an artist spotlight with her, and it's coming out the week that you're listening to this episode. So yeah, definitely check that out. She's a really, really nice person. She's got a lot of great things to say about her career, about you know, what she's doing in the scene. She talked about her first original that's coming out. She's talked about her mixed series that is geared towards you know, women in who are in the scene, and you know, she's trying to help that representation of those women as well, which is awesome. But she invited us to come out to Shemansky, which is in Brooklyn, New York, and I got a chance to catch the sets from Azure, who is awesome, by the way. Got a chance to talk to him after his set. Got a chance to see our friend Aki. And then after Aki was West End from Dirty Bird Records. All these people really killed their sets. West End had that whole place bumping, and then the night ended with Will OB as well. Alec, man, I gotta do more of these sorts of nights where it's just smaller local talent. You know what I mean? Because is just so much talent out there, and sometimes I feel like, you know, and I'm definitely, you know, I'm part of this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I focus a little bit too much on wanting to go see the bigger names, when, you know, nights like these are just absolutely wonderful. I mean, the crowd, the vibe was amazing, bro. Truly amazing. I've been to Shemansky before, and what was the name of the club that you don't really like that you've been to in San Francisco?
Oh,
Audio.
No, I really like Audio. It's Temple.
Yeah. Temple, right? I think like Temple for you in San Francisco is Shemansky to me. Like, I saw MK there last summer, and bro, it was so packed. It was like uncomfortably packed. And it's just that it's not a big club, so it can't really handle that many people. But last night was absolutely perfect. Everybody was moving. People, I felt like, were truly, truly there for the music.
That's awesome, man. I'm really glad to hear that. And I also agree with you. You know, it is difficult in defense of us to find these lights, because it really is, it can be a hit or miss type of thing, right? But I definitely agree. It's something that's worth doing, is just kind of venturing out to see who's playing and be, you know, kind of just being like, you know, let's go see some local talent. Because again, I think hit the nail on the head. I think the vibe is also a big part of it. You know, this is going to be a much better vibe than, you know, when you have someone, you know, big rolling through. Because that's the problem with a lot of the clubs, is, you know, sometimes they overpack, they oversell the tickets, so it's way too crowded. And then, you know, it's just some of the people too, they may be just going just to go, right? Whereas the people who are going to this, I do feel like they know their music a little better. I might be wrong about that assumption, but is that what seemed to be the case with you?
Yeah, dude, like I said, bro, I mean, it really felt like people were truly there for the music. And I absolutely love that. I really, really did. And the crowd that was pulled in was really, really nice. And I felt like it was a very relaxed atmosphere. And it was just, honestly, it was just a lot of fun, like really getting a chance to meet Aki and her crew. Hang out with I hung out with Azor for a little bit too. He's a really, really nice guy. I'm going to see if he wants to come on the show.
That'd be great.
He seemed pretty open to it. Yeah. So just really, really wonderful time. And dude, but real quick, man, I just want to say, you know, we saw Aki at Chami, right? She opened for Chami, which is awesome. But man, I mean, her set once again was amazing at Szymanski. Amazing set. Like, she was really going for like this acid kind of sound. But listeners, I did actually get a chance to catch up with her after her set. So just take a listen. You know, we had a quick conversation after her set.
So Aki just came off of an amazing set. I mean, absolutely. She had the whole crowd jumping here at Szymanski in Brooklyn, New York. And she's got a big smile on her face. I'm hoping that she feels good about it. But let me ask her right now, Aki, how do you feel about your set? I think you had the whole crowd moving. What did you think?
Thank you. I do feel good about it because I really stuck to a lot of the kind of acid house I really wanted to play.
Yeah.
I've traditionally played a lot more tech house lately. And, like, I really want to kind of switch over to more kind of, like, tracks that have this intersection between like traditional and modern acid house, and I was a little nervous because the person before me was playing a lot harder and I did not want to go that hard, so I was like kind of thinking about how to, you know, guide people from that to like, you know, a different level. But I think it worked out.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I mean, you could just kind of hear the excitement in her voice there, and you know, and you guys can take a listen to that artist spotlight. It was a really, really, really great conversation.
Yeah, man, I absolutely loved it. So, you know, I can't wait to see what she does this year. You know, I think this is really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see. You know, I would say probably this year or next year, you know, is going to be her year. But you just never know with these things, right? But I think she's getting to that point where you could just tell she's got some talent. She can mix too, which is just all the better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we talked a little bit about that too. So really excited for that to come out and to, you know, show her some love and hopefully get her some more fans, because, you know, she deserves it. So
absolutely,
that was great. Thank you, Samir, that was awesome. And thank you, Aki, for inviting us.
Totally.
Switching tones a little bit though, now going to Samir's favorite DJ, Marshmello. We're going to talk about Marshmello. Samir, what do you think about your main man's new song?
Oh my god. It sucks because, and look, listeners, if you guys have listened to our previous episodes, you would know that, like, I'm not a total Marshmello hater, right? Like, I love, love, love the collab that he did with Churches. I'm still listening to that song. But, oh my God, Alec, did you listen to this new song, Light It Up, with Tyga and Chris Brown?
Yeah. I mean, all right, let's go from controversy aside, and rest assured there was plenty of that. The song itself, what did you think, man? I was not a fan.
It's dick. Like, it sucks. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. Like, it sounds like a generic rap song, right? What was Marshmello's name even doing in there besides just like, oh, Marshmello released a new song, let's get it like right up to the top of the Billboard charts. Like, for fuck's sake, man. I mean, like, Marshmello, I'm sorry, dude, and you're probably never going to hear this podcast, but you had pretty much zero influence in this track, all right? I don't know what kind of uniqueness you brought to this collaboration,
Well, he might have just produced some of the... I don't know who usually produces these guys, but maybe he, you know, hopped in and I don't know. He just... I mean, it was just not what I was expecting because usually when you see a DJ, right, kind of like produce a rapper's music, meaning like an EDM artist, if it's more of just a typical rap beat, they won't put... The name won't be on there, right? Like Skrillex has done that before. And that's just one example, right? Even Jos Effelstein, when he was producing The Weeknd's music, he wasn't on there, right? That's because it wasn't really his, you know, sound. Now, when you see somebody put their name on it, for instance, Nightmare has done this, where he's producing, Skrillex also has done this, but where there's clearly much more of their influence on it in terms of the beat, you know, that makes sense. But this was just so like, I was like, okay, I was like, what the hell is this? Why?
I know.
Why? I don't really know why. And I guess that this is a good segue into the why in terms of people too. Why did he do this?
I'm sorry, man. I kind of need to go off on this.
Go ahead. Okay? Oh, this is the early anti-plur moment. Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. All right. I do not understand why Chris Brown is continually supported in the music scene. I do not understand this at all. Okay. Like, we all know what happened between him and Rihanna, all right? We have all seen the pictures. You know, thankfully, Rihanna, you know, she coped with it well, and she's just killing it, man. Everything she puts out is just so well-received. But what the fuck is going on here where Chris Brown is still coming out, you know, with new music and artists are still collabing with him? I completely agree with Churches, you know, when they said that they were not happy that Marshmello did a collab with Chris Brown. I'm 100% with them on that. And I am so sick and tired of seeing Chris Brown's name. I honestly cannot listen to any of his music anymore. I just can't listen to it. After everything that he's done with Rihanna, like, I just cannot listen to it. And I'm very, very disappointed in Marshmello for, you know, still propagating this man's career. It's just awful.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I don't really know. And something interesting here, I don't know if you saw this, Samir, but in the comments section of Church's post, Chris Brown and Tiger actually responded. Did you see what the responses were?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so this is such a stark contrast between the two rap artists. Listen to this. So Chris Brown decided to say this. I can't believe it, but this is the quote. Bunch of losers in capital letters, taking a little bit from Donald Trump there with the capitals.
Oh my God.
These are the type of people I wish walked in front of a speeding bus full of mental patients.
Chris Brown said that?
Yes. And it goes more, continues. Keep groveling over your own securities and hatred. I'm black and proud, and I know it hurts that you guys are struggling with, what's about wit, life, or peace, so you are forced to see my success. You aren't even a number two. Remember, second place only means you lost first. Ta-da. Good day, peasants. It was bizarre.
I'm at a loss.
Really bizarre.
Here,
and then Tiger commented, writing, where's all God's children's? Everyone makes mistakes. No one's perfect. Let's keep the energy positive. So I get that. That's like more of a typical response, right? But I don't know why Chris Brown decided to... That was just so weird.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. I know.
I don't... Oh, my God.
And I don't think Churches have officially responded yet.
No, nor should they, dude. They definitely should not, because it's just generating more headlines like, oh, Churches said this, and then Chris Brown said this, and then Churches said this back. Like, it's just... We need to just silence this guy, like, and like just get him off of Spotify and Apple Music and take him off the airwaves. Like, it just needs to stop, because this is so ridiculous, and I'm so aghast that he even responded to Churches in that way. Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, like that.
I'm even more pissed off now, dude.
I know. I mean, I don't blame you, dude. I mean, it really is just. I don't get this type of behavior. You know.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't understand it. You know, at least Tiger was like, you know, civil about it. And it was a weird response, man. It was just a weird response. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is kind of something that's really gripping the industry, the music industry as a whole, not just, you know, not just EDM, but just a lot of stuff going on in terms of, you know, this type of, you know, what do you do when an artist exacts these type of behaviors, right?
Yeah.
And it is a difficult question in some regard, but then there's issues where it's like, you know, this isn't just one or two different things. Like, you know, I think churches were right. They, you know, there comes a point in time where it's just like you might be feeding something, you know,
right
there, that's not good. That's not going to cause better behavior, in other words, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of their point with it, which is where, and clearly, to be honest, like Chris Brown's response kind of shows that, you know. I think it's a shame because, I mean, I think it's a shame that he's like this because, to be honest, like, you know, back in old Chris Brown days, you know, he was talented. Yeah. He was good, right?
Yeah, he was.
And then I just don't know what, or if he was always like this. I don't know. So, I don't know, man.
There's seriously something wrong here, man. But anyways, oh my God, I'm just getting really pissed off, like, talking about this right now.
Yeah.
But I think we've made our points pretty clear here, you know.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Let's move on to the anti-plur moment. Let's continue the negativity, but I don't think we should dwell on this for too long.
No,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
And I think a lot of ravers and festival goers will agree with us on this one here, right? So in this anti-plur moment, we're going to be talking about flow toys and hula hoops and, you know, like the folks who play with them, you know. First of all, love the talent, really. I think it's awesome, you know. I think poi is really cool, hula hoops are sweet, and just like other flow toys that you see that people bring, I think it's really, really neat stuff. And I love that people like kind of practice their craft and like they'll bring it with them to the rave, and like, you know, they'll like entertain other people. I think it's really, really neat. But there's an issue with people doing it like at the front of the crowd or like really, really crowded areas. Like that, your shit shouldn't be hitting other people. You know what I mean? Like, you just bring it to the back a little bit where you have plenty of space and plenty of admirers as well. Like, you will, people love to see this stuff. And I've seen actually a lot of float, you know, people who play with float toys and hula hoops. They're pretty respectful, man. They understand that, like, they need their space, and they practice their craft, like, in non-crowded areas. And I think that's awesome. But there's always just a few of those people who don't understand the rules.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree with you more on this one. And I'm, as you said before, I'm sure everybody can really relate to this. It's just, you know, you've got to just be aware of your surroundings and understand when something is really appropriate, right? In terms of personal space and just not, you know, distracting from the show. And, you know, there's just like when it's crowded, it's just not the right place to hula hoop. Like, it's just not.
I know, man.
You could go towards the back and do that, right? I mean, there is, and people do that. And I really respect those people for doing that. And it's quite cool walking onto a stage when you see people doing that at the back. But
yeah, it's fun.
When it gets too much, you know, when it's just like, you've just got to kind of like, I don't want to say it's all bad, right? And it could be fun in certain circumstances, but you've just kind of got to be aware, right? And just be like, okay, is this just a bit too much? Is it too crowded here? Am I going to be ruining other people's experiences? You know, that's really kind of a question you've got to ask yourself there. And so
absolutely,
it's just kind of one of those things. I know a previous anti-plur moment we also talked about, just, you know, kind of just, you know, the crowd dynamics in general and how you do have those people who just kind of like really, you know, brush past you hard and like knock your drink onto yourself, you know. And this is kind of a similar thing where it's like, you know, it might not be, you know, the intention might not be to bump into you or to make you feel uncomfortable, you know, in terms of, you know, like not having the space and the fact that you have to now walk back or change your spot because they're there doing their stuff, you know, but you just got to be aware of it, right? Like, that's just really the takeaway point from, at least from my perspective.
Totally. No, dude, 100% in agreement with you there, man. So, you know, like I said, people who play with flow toys and hula hoops, we seriously love what you guys are doing. It's so much fun to see that.
Definitely.
And I love the talent, but just please make sure you're doing it in an area that is conducive to that sort of activity.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyways, like we said, we're not going to dwell too long on the anti-plur.
No, we had
moment,
an anti-plur kind of back-to-back there.
Yeah, we do. Little anti-plur, back-to-back anti-plur, but...
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, I'm awful.
Awful.
Alec, let's go into it, bro. What are we listening to? We have some huge, huge releases, man.
We do. We have Seven Lines and Crystal Skies. Sojourn, is that how you say it? Sojourn,
I think so. Yeah, I think you got
wow,
it.
Wow, we actually got we can pronounce something right. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
And then the other one that we'll be talking about is 1788L's EP called Synthetic, spelt with a K at the end.
Right.
Let's talk about Seven Lines first. What did you think? Totally down. What did you think of this song?
Dude, honestly, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song, man. I really love Seven Lions, dude. And this whole track from beginning to end just had an amazing atmosphere to it. I'm trying to find the correct words to really talk about just how uplifting it felt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How just... it just really puts you in a great mood. The sounds that they use and everything was just so lovely.
He's really great at doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's with individual songs or when he's playing live, right? Like, he is, you know, really good with doing that type of stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see that. And I really like this song too, man. Like, it was really a very uplifting song, as you said. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I can't wait to see that live.
Yeah, man. I'm really looking forward to hearing that song live. You know, it just has such a feel-good attitude to it, you know?
Definitely, man. It really does. And it's just great. Yeah. You know, have you listened to Crystal Skies at all?
No, I haven't really touched upon their music all that much. Yeah, but neither. Now, like, if anything, this collab is, like, making me want to go check out some more Crystal Skies sound.
Let's do that. Yeah. Let's definitely do that. That'd be
100%,
definitely really interesting. Yeah. So great track there. And we'll come back and rate that in a second.
Yeah.
But 1788L's synthetic EP. Well, what are your thoughts on this one? Because you were alluding to the fact that you might... you have liked this one a bit better than his previous release.
Yeah, dude. I mean, definitely. You know, we talked about his prior release also in this section, the What Are We Listening To section, and it was not for me. It was like, I did not like his previous release. And we have a 4-track EP here. It's called Synthetic. You got the title track Synthetic, Malfunct, Organic, and Wicked. And dude, I love this EP. And what's cool is, and I've said this before, I feel like 1788L's sound has been like very kind of one-sided, right? It's just like always the same synth, always the same type of drop, mm-hmm. always the same tempo, right? But he worked with four artists, right? Each track was a collaboration. One with Slews, who I believe we've talked about on this show before, right, dude?
Oh, yeah. He was the guy that I featured and said that you got to watch him. And lo and behold, the man is making moves. This is a big deal for him.
I totally agreed, man. Well, I mean, congratulations to Slews. He was an artist we're watching on a previous episode, but also worked with Death Pact, Tato, and he did a fantastic collaboration. This is my favorite track off of this EP with Josh Pan. It's called Wicked.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Alec?
No, I agree with you. I will have to say that the song Wicked with Josh Pan was probably my favorite. I really like when Josh Pan collabs because he brings a real creative element to the music. So it's really kind of sticking with 1788L sound, but he puts there's a little bit of flair in there, and I think it works really well together. Like, again, it's one of those collabs where I think it was a true collaboration, meaning it wasn't one artist doing their stuff and then sending over a file to the other and be like, you finish it. You know, it's kind of like, it seems like they totally collaboratively agreed. Worked on this. Not to say that the other, you know, the former, I mean, is bad. Like, that's fine sending it over and doing the split. But I really do like it when artists truly come together and make a unique song. So that was great. And then the song was Loose, Synthetic, I also really liked. You know, you could tell
that
it's
a great song.
It's another one of those where it's like, you know, their sounds are very compatible, though. So I knew that, you know, as soon as I saw this, I was like, this is going to be a good song because they're very totally compatible. But overall, I did like the one with Toto probably wasn't my favorite one of them, but I did like that one too.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that we're talking about this. You know, I feel like we're 1788L is kind of like redeeming himself a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Alec, let's get into rating these bad boys here, right? So listeners, here on Beyond the Beats, we have our own unique rating scale. And you know, if you have already heard this before, feel free to skip it. It's the same rating scale that we've been using. So it goes level 1 through 5, with 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. Level 1 is what we call level 1 is called one listen. And one listen is where Alec and I will probably pick up a piece of music. We'll listen to it once, but that'll probably be the only time that we listen to it. But we encourage our listeners to also give it a listen and formulate your own opinions. So level 1 is one listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. And it's where a piece of music comes on. You don't mind if it's in the background. You're doing your own thing. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You know, whatever. You're not going to make an attempt to skip it. It's just there to keep you company. So that's level 2, background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. This is pretty self-explanatory, but when a piece of music comes on, you're going to grab the volume knob. You're going to crank it up. Going to blast it out. So level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music from an artist and it compels you to want to look up their tour dates and to find tickets of when they're coming to your city next. And level 5 is speechless. Speechless is where it's just you and the music. Everything else kind of falls away, melts away, and that's all that you can see and that's all that you can focus on. So just going through it one more time, level 1 through 5. Level 1 is one listen. Level 2 is background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. And level 5 is speechless. Alec, what did you think of Seven Lions and Crystal Skies Sojourn?
You know, I'm going to give this... I'm going to give this a just bought tickets, a level 4.
Hell yeah.
You know, I really liked it. This is, you know, again, you don't really have to convince me to go see Seven Lions, but this was just one of those songs where it's like, you know, I really do like it on its own. However, you know, I think this would be even better when in a mix, because Seven Lions has this amazing ability to control the mood with the crowd, right? And he just really knows, he can really feel the mood, and he really knows how to manipulate that in a positive way, right? Where he'll bring you up and then he'll bring you back down again with some heavier stuff and then back up again. And this is one of those uplifting songs that, you know, really just makes people fall in love with Seven Lions, because at the end of the day, it is true. Like, you know, while his songs that go hard are awesome, it's really the fact that he contrasts that with the uplifting nature of, you know, melodic dubstep, you know, slash even, you know, kind of like, basically it's basically trance, but just with a little bit more melodic, you know, dubby beats and drops in it, right? So yeah, absolutely love this song, man. What about you,
dude? First of all, very, very well said. And bro, this is 100% a just bought tickets for me,
right?
I love Seven Lions, dude. I love him. And this is a wonderful, wonderful track. Probably one of my favorite releases of that he's put out recently. So this is just very well done. Alec, just real quick question for you though, dude. Mm-hmm. Was the first time that you saw Seven Lions when we were at the Above and Beyond show in Miami Music Week?
I caught a bit of them of him, sorry, when we were at EDC prior.
Oh,
a bit,
I
but not much.
That, yeah.
That was the first full set I was able to really catch, and boy, I mean, that was unbelievable.
That was a great set.
I know. Yeah. To be fair, I've just it's amazing, but you know, I really have not seen him live much, right? Obviously, and I really want to see him more. So, but yeah, that would be correct. Like the first full set was when we saw him play after Above and Beyond in Miami.
Sweet, cool, cool. Yeah, I was just curious.
Definitely, man.
And dude, let's go into it, man. Synthetic EP from 1788L, 4-track EP. All of them are collaborations. What did you think?
Put me on the spot here with this one. This is one where it's like, if we had a decimal system, I would do a decimal.
No, no decimals.
I know,
dude.
I know. we're gonna go, man. You know, I'm gonna give this a level 4 again. I'm gonna give this a just bought tickets, because that Josh Pan song really kind of pushes it over the edge for me, as well as the Sleuth song too. Really did enjoy those two songs particularly, and this has made me essentially, I guess, really this is a nice segue from when we had previously talked about 1788L. This has really made me want to go see him live, because you know, some of these tracks are really cool.
Yeah, completely agreed. I'm not gonna give it a just bought tickets just yet. But I mean, it's definitely an upgrade over what I gave him last time, right? I think I gave it a one listen, right?
I don't remember, but you were very harsh.
I think it was
very harsh.
That was,
man,
pretty harsh.
Very
harsh. This is a very easy turn it up for me, man. Yeah, this EP, super well done. And you already know when especially when that Josh Pan song comes on, dude, I'm grabbing that knob, tearing it off, dude. It's really, really well done. And I just love that he did every single one of these tracks were collabs. You know what I mean?
Love that.
And he did it with artists that, you know, some of them obviously are not that well known. Like, I'm so pumped that he did a track with Sleuth,
that's
dude.
Awesome.
I think that's so awesome.
That's really cool. I think, you know, I don't want to say it wrong, so I'll follow up with this on the next episode, but I think there's actually a really interesting story behind that. So yeah, there might
be
that, or there might be an interesting story. It was some type of collab, I think, with Sleuth. I saw on Twitter or something. Yeah, don't quote me on this, listeners, but I'll come back and research that.
Word. Yeah, definitely let us know what you find,
sure,
man. But yeah, great, great releases for the What Are We Listening To section. I'm so happy we talked about, like, seriously, very, very solid pieces of music here on the show. So, yeah.
Definitely, man. All right. Well, it's our favorite section.
Hell yeah.
Dude, who do you have this week for the artist we're watching section?
Oh, yes. All right. I'm so, so excited to be talking about this guy, right? Okay, listeners, this week I'm talking about Jordan Moody. All right. He says he's from Indianapolis and San Diego. That's what it says in his SoundCloud profile. On his SoundCloud, speaking of which, he has about 1,500 followers. On Spotify, he has 31 monthly listeners. On Instagram, he's got about 1,700 followers. Let's get this man some more notoriety, because let me tell you right now, the song that he did, it's called Money. It was premiered on Fucks With It, right? That music blog. It was premiered there. Great, great track, man. When it came on, dude, I was so shocked by the things that I was hearing. And what's great is it's love like that. Fresh, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you never know what's going to happen in that song, but it just all fits together very well. Listeners, we're going to play a clip of it for you guys right here. Take a listen.
Dude, I love that. You know, when you sent this over to me, I was bumping it in the car, and I said, you know, I told you straight after as well, I love is the creativity in this, man. I mean, I know I've talked about it before, but I truly appreciate creativity with the sound design of songs, and this is awesome. As you said, it keeps you on your toes and it gets you moving. I really like this, man, and yeah, definitely needs some more followers there.
Yeah, I'm really pumped to hear that you're as stoked about this song as I am. Yeah, I was just genuinely blown away. And dude, all of his tracks are really, really quite good as well.
Yeah, I'll definitely be checking him out, man. Like, thank you so much for that. Like,
sure.
We'll chat afterwards, but I'd really like to, you know,
yeah,
definitely like look a little bit more into, maybe reach out to him and talk to him, ask him about, you know, how he got into this type of stuff, because it's really good. For the level that he's at, it's definitely really great. So great find, man. Great find. So
thank you, dude.
Yeah, of course. But for this week, for me, this is another name. It's so hard sometimes with names, man. It really is, but I don't know why.
This one's easy, Alan.
Scribe?
Come on,
is
man.
That how you're supposed to say
yes.
it? Okay, good.
Okay, wait, real quick, before we move into it, what else would you have said for his name? How else would you have pronounced it? Like, it's Scribe.
I don't know. Don't put me on the spot like that, man. I don't know. I've no idea. I was going to wing it. I was absolutely going to wing right. that one. I don't know. But Scribe. Okay, cool. So Scribe, I hope I'm saying that right. It's actually a really cool spelling. So it's Skrybe. And this guy is from Melbourne, Australia. And he's on his SoundCloud. He's only got 984 followers. And this is a guy that I really, really am interested to see. We talked about creativity before, and he is very, very creative. Before I delve more into his story, you know, we've got to listen to this track, his remix of a song, the original I really like, but I really like this remix too. It's Scribe's remix of Quix's Strongest. Take a listen.
What I love about this song is that, like, it pays, and I've talked about this before, when it comes to remixes, but it pays homage to the original, but it just puts a new spin on it, and it's just a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, exactly, man. And he adds in so many different elements. So he actually, interestingly enough, I believe he is classically trained. It says on, yeah, I'm looking on his SoundCloud now. So what's really neat, and I like this when, you know, sometimes, so he wears like this mask thing, so you don't really know his true identity. And it's cool when some of the DJs write, they don't really have like a bio, it's hard to find out anything about them. But he has this full, long, blown bio, which is just, it's really cool because he goes into the whole point of the music. So he really is talking about everything that we've said on the show that we love. I'll read you a little bit of it. He was talking about how he is using this as a way to express emotion and it as an expression tool, right? And so it's not just about whether it's hard or slow. He's going to really manipulate those sounds and play around with it to really manipulate the crowd's emotions, really. And so it's like bringing it up and down, but within one song and not necessarily, you know, throughout like a track list or a set. So it really was, I was really impressed to see this done within one song, right? And just you hear all the different elements. Like when you take it back and you listen to it again, you could just hear the layering of things. And I think it's done really well. And for somebody who barely has, you know, shy of 1,000 followers, I mean, this is some very high quality stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what this guy does. I'm assuming it's a single. It doesn't look like it's a duo, so I think it's just this one guy. But really, really great stuff from Scribe. I can't wait to see what he's doing. And I just like the fact that he's focused on this creative aspect. Yeah. The quote I was looking for, I was just finding it here, is saying, much of his music is built around the intricate characteristics of cinema, orchestral, and film soundtracks. Really interesting, right? And that's such a cool focus. So he's going to go across genre and he's going to bring in a real kind of a theatrical element to musically wise.
Well, you can certainly hear that, you know, those sorts of influences in his music. So, dude, I just love when DJs put like meaningful, substantial stuff in their bio.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes they just put like nothing and then, you know, like I guess like just like a city, the city that they're in, and that's it, you know, to like to be mysterious, which is fine, whatever, that's your marketing thing, that's fine. But just really, really great find, dude. I'm very, very stoked on him.
Yeah, so that's great, man, and stoked on your guy too. But I think that wraps up this week.
Yeah, dude, episode 14 in the books. And listeners, real quick before we go, really, really just again, we want to make sure that we consistently say this, because obviously this podcast is not possible without you guys, but thank you so much for all the support. Really, it's awesome. Like all the ratings and the reviews on the Apple Podcast Store, you know, I think we've actually gotten a few this past week, which is sick. But also very, very excited to say that we have officially passed the number of listens as compared to last month.
That's
so
great. I know, it's unbelievable. Love it.
Continuously trending, and this past week has just been one of our best weeks in terms of streaming. So really, guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. So adding on to that quickly, thank you guys, you know, so much for doing this. It's great to see that, you know, we're able to provide something of value to you. You know, it's again, kind of, anyone's new that's hopping on here, we just two guys talking about electronic music, and you know, we talked about this stuff anyway, so we figured why not record it and see if we could get some conversations going. And you know, and we'd be getting more engagement, but you know, if you guys are really fans, you know, feel free to reach out, you know, suggest some artists, send us some songs, comment on social media, and we'll get back to you, we'll chat with you. I mean, we really are just two regular people, and you know, there's so much to cover in this industry, it's not possible without you guys. So we're very much a big proponent of crowdsourced information, so please reach out. Don't feel like you can't do that, because you will be able to get a hold of us
for sure. But until next time, we will see you guys real soon.
Definitely. All right, talk to you soon.